Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Soggy one, unfortunately, in the Northeast, but we'll make the best of it. You know, maybe give your mom or wife, mother of your children, some extra attention this morning. Maybe a little breakfast in bed, George.
Well, it's a little hard for me to do that. I'm here with you, Joe.
Yeah, we do have commercials.
Oh yeah, I'll just whip up some eggs. I'll whip up eggs during those, that 3 to 4 minute of break and rush it upstairs to the wife. Sure, I'm going to get right on that. No, I took care of that. My wife and I went jewelry shopping last weekend. We knew this weekend would be busy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I'm covered. I'm good. I'm good like that. You know, I'm looking on Twitter now, and Jason Collette. Writer for RotoWire, ESPN Sweet Spot Network. Jason knows what he's talking about. And he tweeted out, so safe to assume fam will get plunked in the first inning today. Once again, this is following our conversation from earlier. And I'm about to reply to him. It won't be today. Tanaka's starting today. So it won't be today. You know, it'll be next Friday will be the day to really look at there. That would be the day that'd be interesting to see if CeCe does it. So, it is a topic of conversation about what happened in the Yankee Rays game. I don't think anything. I said I'd be surprised if anything happens today, unless the relievers get involved or the game gets out of hand.
Yeah, that's
one
a good
team's
point. The relievers
too.
The
relievers good, and you certainly don't want the Yankee relievers getting involved or the Rays relievers. They all throw hard. But unless the game gets out of hand, I don't think anything happens today. I would be surprised. I said Tanaka, I don't see him doing anything. He's just not that kind of guy. You know, so I think today. I think you're fine today.
All right. Let's continue breaking down some of these games from yesterday. And as we look at these games, try to look forward to maybe pick out some players that we might be interested in acquiring off the waiver wire. I mentioned the guy to you during the commercial, and you kind of poo-pooed it. Spencer Turnbull, a starting pitcher for the Tigers yesterday. 5.2 innings pitched, 2 runs, 4 walks. Walks have always been an issue for him, but when you look at what he's done, 3 runs or less in all 8 starts this season, 26.7 hard hit against. That's the 5th best in baseball. He's using his slider a bit more this season, and batters are hitting 0.94 against that slider. Last year, 1.43 they were hitting against that slider. Owned in just 24% of ESPN leagues. Wins are going to be a problem because the Tigers are a bad team, let's face it. But 17% uptick in ownership this week. I know you don't have an interest in him based on our conversation. Am I reading you right, George?
It's very tough to have any interest in him. I mean, it's just, once again, simple math. You're playing a 5x5 league. All right, Tigers can't hit. Wins going to be very tough to come by. You're down to 4 categories. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not getting any saves. You're down to 3 categories. Boy, you better be really good in those ratios and strikeouts for me to think you're worthy of coming on. When wins, I know I can't get W's from you.
Right.
You know, and it's not your fault. I mean, you could be great, and then he's not great, by the way. He's an average starting pitcher. Where's the upside here? Why am I doing this? You know, there's no point in this for me. Yeah, Boyd is a little different on Detroit. He's getting the strikeouts.
Oh, yeah.
So he's worthy of it. But anybody else, you know, it's taking anybody on Detroit, anybody on Toronto. Even Stroman now is struggling. So well at the beginning, now he's struggling. This is why, you know, you and I had talked about this. Toronto, as soon as he was pitching well, you had to start talking to teams about moving him. You know, get the most value you could out of him. Now that value has gone down again. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's funny how that works out. And Stroman hasn't even faced a strong lineup yet. Wait till he's got to face the Bostons and the Yankees when they're healthy of the world. You know, good luck to you. So, it's like I said, I don't mind Turnbull. You know, we all have guys at the bottom. He's what I would call a churner. He's a guy, bottom of the rotation, mm-hmm. my fantasy rotation, I'm churning. Mm-hmm. You're always churning those guys anyway. Turnbull's pitching well now, plug him in. But eventually, right. in 2 weeks, a month, you're going to find somebody else. You're going to plug him in there over Turnbull. He's a churner. Mm-hmm. You're going to move on from him. He's fine. Ride the hot guy. But nothing spectacular is going to win you a fantasy league.
Right. From the offensive side of the Tigers, and I don't want to spend too much time on the Tigers, but I'll just mention his name, Ronnie Rodriguez, batting .363 in his last nine games. You know, you watch, we don't get to, me personally, I don't get to watch too many Tigers games, but I do watch highlights on a daily basis. His name has just been, you know, in the highlight reel on MLB every day. But I'm not really expecting too much out of Ronnie Rodriguez. No interest from you as well, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but...
Once again, it'll depend on what size league we're talking about here and where you want to plug mm-hmm. them in. There's always someone who can hit. Mm-hmm. You know, it might come down to what category you're trying to fill up. You know, at this point, right. that's probably what I'm looking at. You know, my week at steals, my week at average. I always bring up those two categories. I assume most of us have enough power, or we think we have enough power. You mm-hmm. know, where you're not really worried about that. But average and steals are generally the two categories I worry about when I may be short on one. I know in most leagues, Joe, I'm probably short on steals. You know, I know because that's how I draft. I don't really draft for that. Rarely do I draft for steals. I was hoping to finish in the middle of the pack. You know, I wasn't drafting Gordon, Mondesi, Hamilton, someone like that. So that's a category I'm always looking at. But average could be there as well. Maybe I drafted too much power. You know, I get a whole bunch of guys who are about 230, 240. And then you might look at guys who can bring that average up. And that's how I'll approach some of my claims at this point.
There you go. All right. You know, we had talked earlier in the season about the NL East being like one of the premier divisions in baseball. And, you know, so far, I mean, it's early in the season, you know, only in the middle of May. But, you know, you see the Phillies in first place, you know, Atlanta and the Mets keeping it close, three and a half games out. But that NL Central is the one that's really the most intriguing to me right now. You have the Cubbies, 23-14 in first place. The Brewers, just a game back at 24-17. St. Louis, 2.5 games back. Even the Pirates, 2 games over 500, 3.5 back. Pirates beat the Cardinals 2-1 yesterday. Jordan Lyles, 6 innings pitched, a run, 3 walks, 6 Ks, 2.09 ERA in the season. 6 of his 7 starts now with 2 runs or less. What do you think about his long-term projections? I mean, I'm looking at line drive rate of less, just under 15%, which is excellent, right? Yeah, it's something that you want out of your pitchers. A hard hit rate under 30%. What are your thoughts on Jordan Lyles going forward?
Pittsburgh with Jordan Lyles, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's playing better than we thought they were. We're still in the small sample size here, folks. It's only
yes,
you know, it's only May 12th, so I might relax a little bit. As much as we say, hey, you know, these hitters, we need to give them a break because the weather hasn't been nice. Well, for the pitchers, it's an advantage. I've always thought it's an advantage to pitch in lousy weather because I'll be loosened. I'll loose up pretty good. You know, I'm throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. Batters don't want to hit in that. You know, the bat, it's not a comfortable at bat. So you got to take that into consideration as well. Lyles has never done anywhere near this good before. I mean, anywhere near. You look at his career ERAs, they're all over 4. And actually, over 4 is nice. Generally, it's over 5. So where's this coming from? Is this the hot start? You know, where is this coming from? There could be something to that. Maybe they did teach him something new. You never know. That's mm-hmm. something. Where's this coming from? What's mm-hmm. different from years past here? That's the first thing I'm trying to figure out here. What is different? You know, his fastball velocity has gone down. It's not up. Well, you know, he's found mm-hmm. an extra couple of miles here. So what is different? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm leaning towards, once again, this guy I don't mind grabbing. He's pitching well, 2.09 ERA, 1.09 whip. It's just a guy you grab. He's a guy you grab and you worry about later. Now, his BABIP is low, so there's some mm-hmm. luck involved here. You know, when they are hitting the ball, there it's hitting gloves rather than grass. So there's some luck involved there as well. But once again, you know, we can make stats say whatever they want them, whatever we want them to say.
Yeah.
Just bring up the stats we want to point out. You bring up the line drive percentage, I'm bringing up the BABIP. I mean, we can make everything sound whatever we want them to say. So you have to believe here. But what I'm going at here is more as, is another guy, I like him more than Turnbull, I'll tell you that. But he's another guy. And pitching in PNC, by the way, is a great pitcher's ballpark. Maybe the best in the majors. Mm-hmm. Certainly one of the best in the majors. So you like that as well. Pitching in the National League, we like that. He's a guy you pick up. You know, he's at the bottom. Once again, at the bottom of your staff. You know, I used to say rotation, but Scott Engel used to get mad at us for saying rotation. You don't have a rotation fantasy thing. It matters. So, you know, you put him at the bottom of your staff, and you plug him in. You don't like him in a month, you move on. There are always guys like this we can move on from. But there is, you know, maybe a chance you hit some gold here. I don't think so. But he's pitching very well right now. You can't ignore him. He is pitching very well. I do think it's more luck than anything else. And that, once again, that'll as the weather heats up, that'll figure it'll work itself out, and he'll be back to the pitcher he used to be. But for now, until that happens, I don't mind plugging him in. Odds are, at the bottom of your rotation, you have bad guys. We all do. So why not? Churn him. You know, you're looking for the best match. Churn them.
Very good point. Very good point. Hey, another guy that's been hot for the Pirates and seems to be coming into his own, and we seem to have been waiting for this for the past couple of years, is their first baseman, Josh Bell. Big guy. You know, you expected him to be a, you know, bona fide power hitter. You know, maybe a little help coming out of this live ball that, you know, there's definitely a live ball this year, but when you look at what he's done, and you know, entering this weekend was batting .294, 9 home runs, an OPS of just over a 1, so 1.0003. He hit just 12 home runs all of last season. But what, you know, you talked about like what's the difference? And with him, actually, I looked this up in 2018, 9.2 launch angle. This year, it's at 12. Average exit velocity last year, 90. This year, 94.5. Hard hit rate, 15 points higher this year compared to last year. And one of our favorite stats, barrels per plate appearance. Last year, 4.8. This year, 10.7. I'm all in on Josh Bell. If I could trade for him, I would. But what are your thoughts? He hit a home run into the Allegheny River this week. Him and Joey Gallo going one for one, hitting home runs into the river. Finally flexing his muscles, this guy. What do you think, George?
He looks like a different hitter right now. Yeah. He looks confident. He looks mean, and he looks ready to mash up there. You know, I like it when you see hitters up there when they make it out and they get mad. Mm-hmm. You know, he hits balls where he hits them in the face, and he looks mad because he looks like he expected to get a hit. He looks like he expects to hit the ball hard right now. Josh Bell is somebody I want on my team. I mean, he is at least a corner infielder. He's somebody I like. I think, certain guys, Joe. It just takes longer. For whatever reason, it just takes longer. Not everybody comes up and hits in their first, second year. You know, baseball's a hard game. Hard game. And some people, some batters, some pitchers, whatever, it does take years for the games to slow down for them. And I think the game is starting to slow down for Josh Bell. I think it's starting to slow down for him. Where he's, I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but I think he might finally live up to that billing. You know, I think the Pirates finally make it paid off here for being patient. Remember, they weren't patient with Austin Meadows, doing pretty well for Tampa Bay. Weren't patient with Glasnow, you know, before he got hurt. And maybe the injury's a part of that. But I think the fact that they're being patient with Bell is starting to pay off here, as he looks like he's going to be that kind of hitter. He's a guy, because a couple weeks ago I started watching him. Because, sometimes you got to pass the eye test for me. You got to pass the eye test. So I wanted to watch his at-bats. I'm watching the Pittsburgh games. And he just looks like a different guy to me. And I like what I'm seeing here. He's a guy I want to acquire.
Yep. One other guy I'll talk about from this Pirates-Cardinals game. Pirates beat the Cardinals 2-1. Miles Mikolas looks like he's putting things together. Yesterday, 7 innings pitched, 7 Ks, 2 runs, 1 walk. A guy that, you know, we had talked about him in the past, not really a strikeout pitcher, but last 3 starts in 20 innings, given up 3 runs and 3 walks. Last season had 18 wins, 2.83 ERA, had come over from, I believe, the Korean Baseball League. But Miles Mikolas, you confident that he's kind of figured things out at this stage, George?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody was really worried about Mikolas. Yeah, I don't know if anybody cared.
We had gotten questions about, you know, should we drop Mikolas? I mean, at one point,
those are fantasy people questions. People get nervous. I mean, if you know what you're not worried. It's May 12th. Mm-hmm. I mean, people worry about Chris Sale too. You got to be patient here. No, I wasn't worried about Mikolas. I mean, I don't have many leagues mainly because I don't draft guys who have one good season. I just don't do it. Not for the price he was going, but I wasn't worried about him. But I just wasn't going to draft him in round four. I wasn't going to do that. There were they had a longer track record that I trusted more. But I was never really worried about Mikolas. I don't think he's great. I don't. That's why I didn't draft him. I didn't think he was worth a round four price. I thought that was kind of really high for a guy who's not. You know, it's not Garrett Cole here. We're not going to beat Garrett Cole. And that people are comparing it to him. No, I didn't see that. But I wasn't worried about Mikolas.
Two way different pitchers, yeah.
Yeah. So I just wasn't he's not somebody I would pay that price for, but other people would. But and if you did, you have to be patient. It's May freaking 12th. You start releasing guys because they're not – I'm not talking about guys at the bottom of your roster. I have no problem. Guys you're drafting at the round 18 – sure. We play games with those guys all the time. You're supposed to. Not working out, move on to the next guy. Fine. But the guys you drafted, you expected something out of, you expect them to be, I don't want to say carry your team, but be a major part of your team. Certainly the guys in the first 8, 9, 10 rounds, before double-digit rounds, you don't move on from those guys so fast. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient with these guys.
Have a little faith in your draft process, right?
Yeah. That's part of it, right? Yeah. Well, what changed in 6 weeks? Well, you thought 6 weeks ago this guy was worthy of a pick. Now, 6 weeks later, you don't? I don't know if there's anything that could change other than injury or something like that. Or being replaced. You know, he lost his job. That's different. But if nothing has changed on a team, I don't know what's changed in your why you think you're so wrong now. There are very few players. Like I said, very few players in a snake draft in the single digit rounds that I'm moving on from right now. Because I know my draft class. I don't take many chances. You know that. I'm a conservative draft. Yeah. I don't take many chances. So most of these guys I know are going to be on my team all year long. That's not to say I won't trade people. That's completely different. But just out and out release them? No. If they're not performing well, I'm not saying I'm against benching them. They may be on my bench, and I'll plug somebody else in there. I do that all the time. I don't like the matchup. Guy's banged up a little bit. You know, he's got a 5-game week, whatever it might be. Sure, they could be on my bench with somebody else. But to out-and-out release, that's a rarity.
Right. I'm with you on that. We're heading out to a commercial, but we'll talk a little Cubs-Brewers. Cubs beat the Brewers 2-1 in a 15-inning marathon. Wilson Contreras walk-off home run to win it, his 10th of the season. Now, I want to talk a little Zach Davies with you. We talked Spencer Turnbull. We talked Jordan Lyles. I don't know if you put Zach Davies in that kind of category with them. Get your take on Zach Davies, what he did yesterday as well. Listening to Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Peter Frampton, classic tune. Showed up. I think he showed up at the Billy Joel concert this week, George. Listening to Fantasy Sports Today, Joe Galina, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel. Billy Joel has this residence. He does a monthly show at Madison Square Garden, and this one was an extra special event where they were celebrating Billy Joel's 70th birthday. Can you believe Billy Joel is 70 years old? Man.
Listen, I live on Long Island, so I'm obligated to be a big Billy Joel fan. Yeah, mm-hmm. So he doesn't live that far from me. It's about 20-25 minutes away. No, I've never met the guy. From right here, and you don't want to meet him because he can't drive very well.
He's had his issues.
You're right about it. Yeah, he's had his issues driving. I think what Franklin did join him on his 70th birthday, right? That's when he had his concert mm-hmm. at the Garden. Mm-hmm. His home concert there. So, yeah, I heard it was a pretty good concert there, actually. I mean, Peter Frampton joined you. It's going to be pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. What town does he live in, George? Do you know?
Oh, God, no. Not old fan.
I'm sure he has a house.
He lives out east.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know he probably has to have, like, like you mentioned, like east. We're talking in the Hamptons, and then he probably has another house you know, right by you, you know. So I'm sure he has multiple residences. Wouldn't be surprised.
I know he sold one. He sold one years back.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mansion that was right on the, I think it was right on the ocean. So yeah, I'm sure he has multiple. I think Billy's doing just fine. He's not living in an apartment.
I think so. Yeah. Wait, at one point, you know, he was dead broke. I think his former brother-in-law lost all his money.
And yeah,
of
it was
he's
back
made a little back, but
quite a long time ago. But yeah.
So happy Mother's Day to everyone, George. You're going out to see your mom, right? Today you mentioned you're not planning on getting her any balloons, are you?
Getting my mom balloons? No.
For Mother's Day? Happy Mother's Day balloon? Because you got to watch out. I was reading. Did you know that there's a helium shortage, a worldwide helium shortage? And that's causing Party City. They're going to be closing about 45 stores. Stars.
That's been going on for years, the helium shortage. I've been aware.
Yeah? So this is no surprise to you. Oh, you've been aware. Wow. So you follow the story.
This hasn't been secretive news. It was in the newspaper a long time ago that they've been a helium shortage. Mm-hmm. I think I've read my newspaper, but I'm dating myself there, huh? Yes, mm-hmm, I still read newspapers. Go figure. No, I'm not surprised. I know helium is also used, I think, for MRIs. Maybe that's how I know, too, because my wife's a nurse. Maybe that's how it came
there
up.
There you go. How. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But knowing me,
that it was used for MRIs. Okay, I'm learning something new every day.
One of those machines. Yeah, that's how. I don't know. What can I tell you? Although I'm pretty sure I read it in the newspaper, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So I just want to, you know, if you were going to buy balloons, they're a little more expensive these days. So keep that in mind. So we were talking a little Cubs and Brewers. Cubs beat the Brewers 2-1 in a 15-inning game. Wilson Contreras walk-off home run, his 10th of the season. Nice year out of Wilson Contreras. Now batting .315. You know, we talked about, you know, not too many catchers around, not too many fantasy viable catchers around, but his 10th home run equals last season's home run total for him. He hit those 10 home runs last year in four times as many at bats as he's done so far this season. So just a nice year out of Wilson Contreras so far. But I wanted to talk, we're talking about, I don't know, would you consider, like, you know, the guys I've been bringing up, like Spencer Turnbull and Jordan Lyles, would you call them marginal pitchers, I guess? Because I wanted to bring up Zach Davies in yesterday's game, you know, the Brewers starter, 6.1 innings pitched, a walk, 5 Ks, has a 1.54 ERA on the season. Strand rate, a little high, 87. The average is in the lower 70s. So do you think that when that normalizes, maybe we're looking at some regression out of him? And then when you look at these ERA estimators, George, the XFIP and the Sierra, they put his ERA in the 5 range. But there's a guy that had 17 wins in 2017. What are your thoughts on Zach Davies? Obviously doesn't pitch his home games in a very pitcher-friendly environment. So that's something to take into consideration as well.
I think, when it comes to starting pitchers, you know, we're all looking for the breakout guys, right? The guys who, you know, that are out there. I know I check the waiver wires all the time, see if there's somebody out there that, you know, not just for 2 start weeks, but somebody out there I can keep long term over this other bum I have in my roster. You know, we're all doing that. You know, I just think you have to be, you can't be sticky. Can't be greedy. Oh, I'm going to keep this guy forever. No. He may be a 1 start, 1 week, a 1 month, and then you have to move on from him. I think when you have these guys, you be very careful because you don't want these guys to blow up your ERA. You know, if they're pitching poorly. That's what I mean by being sticky, by being stubborn. You know, I believe in this guy and keep him forever. If he wasn't a stud coming in, he was a bottom guy here, a guy off the waiver. There's a guy off the waiver at this time is the reason why he's there. You don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You might get lucky, but you're probably not going to get lucky. So that's what I mean. Be very careful here. It's because you pick this guy up doesn't mean that they need to start him each and every week in each and every game. Look at their upcoming starts, who they're up against. You know, I'm not – listen, you damn well better know to avoid Coors Field and probably Fenway Park as well. But see the other starts as well. You know, if it's at Yankee Stadium and, you know, another good hitting ballpark, maybe you want to avoid those starts. That's what I mean. Be careful. Be aware. Play fantasy. I mean, don't just plug guys in there and not look. Yeah, even with my not so much with my studs, but even with my pitchers who I wouldn't consider marginal but are above average, I look at their upcoming starts as well. You know, who are they? Okay. He's not only is he facing Verlander this week, but it's playing Houston offense. All right, I probably want to avoid that. Yeah, that's just not – he's going to have a tough time getting a win facing Verlander, and he's facing the Houston offense. What's my upside there? Yeah, I may have somebody else on the bench who's a lower pitcher, granted, nowhere near the pitcher, but has a 10 times better matchup. You know, maybe he's facing the Marlins or something silly like that. The Marlins are an automatic start. So, you know, it's important to look at these things.
That's a good point. Cole Hamels on the other side of this game, 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 5 Ks, 3.08 ERA. George, this guy has enjoyed a big resurgence since being traded to the Cubs last season. He was a guy that, you know, you thought that he basically his career was winding down, but 2.36 ERA in 12 starts for the Cubbies last season. Like I mentioned, having a decent season this year. 56% ground ball rate, which is 11 points higher than his career rate. What do you think of him for rest of season?
He's a little tougher because, once again, the weather has been in his favor. It's been brutal so far this year, right? So I don't want to point everything towards the weather. You know, I hate to do that, but we know the weather is going to get much warmer, you know, which means the ball is going to travel further. You know, he's a guy right now I would be looking – if someone wanted to buy him from me and was willing to pay, you know, full price or even more because they believe, I'd have no problem moving on from him. But that's not to say he's a sell high. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't trust him. I don't. Now, it could be where he's just had a resurgence from coming to Chicago, right? You know, getting in an independent race, which they're in again. So maybe that's a revival too. Weaker lineups as well, right? We all know that. So I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not looking to move him, but I don't mind moving him if I can get a price I like. I think that's where I'm going with it there. I'm not putting his name out there and taking any deal I can get, you know, or the best deal I can get. No. But if I can get a deal that I like, then I don't mind moving on from him. I don't completely trust him. But that being said, ERA slightly over 3, WHIP slightly over 1. I mean, you got to take that into consideration, but I think all those numbers are coming up. I think they're all going up as the weather gets warmer, as the season goes higher. Another guy, his velocity is down. He only throws about, well, about 91. Average fastball is 91.5. That's down from years past, so keep that in mind as well. It's not down dramatically, but 91 is hittable. You know, it's not like he's blowing people by. He's got a pitch, but at this point in his career, he is a pitcher. He knows how to pitch. He just has to continue to do so and not try and blow, not just try to assume, hey, here it is, Gug, you can't hit it. No, they will hit it if he does that.
All right, let's move on. White Sox beat the Blue Jays 7-2. Blue Jays last 11 games, 2-9. They're averaging 2.1 runs per game, batting 189. Of course, when you talk Blue Jays, thoughts automatically go to Vlad Guerrero Jr. was 2-for-2 yesterday, also 2 walks, batting 186 on the season. His first hit, 118.9 mile per hour exit velocity. So, you know, I mean, well, you're not concerned about Vlad Guerrero. I mean, this guy's eventually going to hit, right? Just like a little adjustment period? Or are you concerned?
I am not concerned, but he's not in my lineup. Yeah, I only have in one league, and I pulled him out this week. All right, say it again. Not everybody comes up as a monster. And this guy was – there was so much pressure on this guy. He was the Messiah. I mean, let's face it. He was gonna make everything okay in Toronto. He was pretty much going to lead them to a World Series, cure world hunger, you know, and solve the problems in the Middle East all in one shot. I mean, so much was expected of this guy, so I don't think it's a surprise that he struggled somewhat. I don't at all. Like I said, I only have him in one league, and he was in my lineup when he first came up, so we're going to see what happened, and now he's not. Now he'll need to have a good week for me. I'm willing to eat a good week is what I'm trying to say here.
He won't
be in my lineup. He won't be in my lineup next week either. And maybe he goes off next week and hits 5 home runs. Maybe he does. All right, that'd be great. I'll take that because I do want to put him in my lineup. I want to put him back in, but I can't do it right now, Joe, until I see something.
Right. Entered yesterday's action, by the way, with a 70% ground ball rate. So that's and I was watching a clip, made a nice backhanded play at third base. We've talked about, you know, some limitations to him as a fielder and him eventually being a DH. But nice backhanded play at third base for him. So do you think we've been spoiled over the past couple of years with guys like Ronald Acuna and Juan Soto, these call-ups that they kind of like hit the ground running, and we expect that whenever we hear like a top prospect being called up that we just like dump all our fab? Are we spoiled? Should we just be a little bit take a step back and take a deep breath?
I think you're probably right. I think we probably have been spoiled, right? Because, a lot of these great guys come and they've hit right away. Most guys don't. Mike Trout didn't. He didn't hit right away. He had to be sent back down. So it's funny how things work out here. So, I think you're right. I think the fact that Acuna's come up, he's been the player we all thought he was going to be. That's why people are disappointed in Guerrero. Everybody loves new toys. We love the new toys as far as fantasies. Because, why, Joe? Because they haven't failed yet. They haven't pissed us off yet. And once they fail, now they're like everybody else. Now Guerrero's like everybody else now, because now he's failed. He's upset us, and now he's failed. Now he's just like every other player now. And the evaluations will be better because of it. We have been spoiled. I don't think that's changing, by the way, because you see it in football all the time, right? These rookies need to come in and play well right away. Nobody has patience anymore. See guys sit forever. And baseball is going to be similar. Baseball, it's still going to take years for guys to come up because not everybody not everybody's going to get drafted and hit major league pitching right away. But you're going to see guys get called up earlier and earlier. I also think that there's economics involved too, as far as that's concerned. But what a guy, how long you can keep him for. Maybe the next CBA will take care of that, where it'll allow these teams to call these players up earlier because they won't be penalized for doing so. But I think the game needs to take that into effect. Because let's face it, as fans, we want to see the young guys. We want to see these young guys play. I know I do. You think about the poor Mets. I'd rather see Davis and Alonso and Dominic Smith play than Todd Frazier, or even Jed Lowry now. I'd rather see the younger kids play. You want to see them play, see them to try and succeed. It's more exciting. And I think teams are going to have to more and more teams are going to get used to doing that. It's going to hurt the older veterans because they're not going to get the contracts they want or the years they want or maybe the playing time they want. But I think you'll see more and more teams throughout the years go to their young players, especially if the new CBA can account for that, where they won't penalize teams for doing so.
That's why I had said earlier in the season, I really tipped my cap to the Mets for starting Pete Alonso, with the major league team from day one, from opening day. And look what he's rewarded them with, the 12 home runs so far this season. So, I'm looking forward to the new CBA where, teams will be in better shape to do what the Mets did, and start their star players, at the start of the season, not just have them spend the first month of the season down in the minor leagues. But we'll see. White Sox, Blue Jays, James McCann, who's been on fire, catcher for the White Sox, 4-for-5, batting .376, batting .442 in his last 14 games, 3 home runs and 10 runs batted in. Marcus Stroman, you had mentioned, like a sell high. It looks like that window has kind of closed fantasy-wise. Visibly upset about being removed from the game. If you watch any of the clips or saw the game, ERA up from 1.43 to 3.12 in his last three starts, I believe. Given up 13 runs in his last 14.1 innings pitched in those starts. 1-6 on the season, George.
You can be as upset as you want. Pitch better. I mean, it really comes down to that to me. I don't think there's anything wrong with by them removing him. It wasn't like he was pitching well. You mentioned, not that I don't blame the Blue Jays, but the time the sell high thing on him is over, right? Now he's not pitching well again. But I can't blame the Jays. What were they going to do, trade him in April? I mean, that probably would have been too soon. And I'm sure in some ways they still have hope. that he'll end up being the pitcher they thought he was going to be. He's not going to be that guy. That's fairly obvious. But listen, yesterday was an okay start. You know, 6 1/3 innings, four runs, three earned, 8 hits, you know, homer, no walks, 4 strikeouts. That's an okay start. You'll take that most days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I think it follows two other poor starts, you know, where he gave up 9 runs in 8 innings. That's obviously not very good. So it is what it is. I think right now, Toronto, everything they do is going to be geared towards trading players that are not long-term fixtures there. So mm-hmm. I think taking Stroman out yesterday, like I said, I don't know why he was upset. 6 1/3, you weren't taken out early. I don't get it. You know, 3 runs, it's a solid start. I don't get why he was so upset about it. But everything they do is geared towards maybe protecting Stroman so that they can move him June, July, before the deadline. I think that's what they're looking mm-hmm. to do here.
And like I mentioned before, the Blue Jays averaging 2.1 runs and batting 189 in the last 11. So it could be just a culmination of just, you know, not getting run support. Just like it must be frustrating being a Blue Jay these days, right? Unless your name is Vlad Guerrero.
Well, I think the Jays knew this coming in. They were going to be a bad team. This is not a shock. Mm-hmm. Another team that is rebuilding. You know, a couple of years. They're a couple of years away. They'll build around Vlad, which is smart. Bichette, I know he's hurt now in AAA, but they'll build around those two and go from there. But that organization needs pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll continue talking some baseball. Albert Pujols. There was a complete game shutout pitched yesterday, George. So we'll talk about that. Listening to Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Mother's Day to all. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince, Sean Angle. Hanging out with you today. We'll talk a little baseball. Next hour, maybe we'll talk a little football. Take a look at the AFC North. Last week, we looked a little bit at the AFC East. And, George, you're in the middle of a draft right now, right?
Yes, Dynasty Draft. It started mm-hmm. on Monday. It's a slow draft. It's a slow Dynasty Draft. No, league that's been around for about 10 years, I'd say. And obviously, it's rookies only. We're in round 4 mm-hmm. here. So it's a fun league. I think I talked about this league several times. 32 teams, 16-team conferences. So it's pretty much a 16-team league. The other conference can draft the same players weekend. We only play them in the Super Bowl, just like in the real NFL. It's a lot of fun. I'm an IDP guy. This is an IDP league. We start more IDPs than we do offensive players. We start you start 11 players. Start 20 players, I'm sorry. But 11 IDPs, 9 offensive starters. So it's fun. It's 40-man rosters. You really need to know your stuff in this league. You really do.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. Obviously, no team defenses. We do have kickers. Yeah. I think now, if this league started today, there'd be no kickers in this league either. But since it did start mm-hmm. 10 years ago, we do have kickers in this league. So, bottom line is, Joe, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. I enjoy the deep league. I think more leagues should be IDP. You know, I was talking about this with Cam yesterday, and I said this many times. I'm not saying if you were to start an IDP league, you need to go crazy like this league. In this league, I mean, we start 11. Think about it. You know, you can start 4 linebackers. I think you need to start 4 total linemen between defensive ends and defensive line, defensive tackles, mm-hmm. and 3 secondary players. So generally, you start 2 safeties. Mm-hmm. You have to start at least 1 cornerback. So that's the way it is. And but I'm all for, hey, do a simple. Start 1 linebacker, 1 defensive mm-hmm. lineman, 1 secondary. If you were to do mm-hmm. that, everybody has a stud. Everybody has a superstar, and you build up from there. You get accustomed to it. You know, you can make your points, and the point system is geared here where linebackers are almost as valuable as top running backs. Yeah, you know, because of the little tackles they make, and that's what they wanted. Because when we did the original draft, you know, you weren't just waiting till round 12 to draft a linebacker. You know, no, you linebackers were generally going around 4, round 5. Somebody like J.J. Watt, who was a monster back in the day, could have been drafted in round 2. That's how good a player he was. That's how the point system is geared towards making these players valuable. It's what I like. I think it's silly that we sort of ignore defense in fantasy. Yeah, we do a team defenses, and no one cares about team defenses. What's the first thing we say to anybody who asks us when to draft the team defense? Oh, wait till the last round.
Second to last. Yeah, right. If you play with a kicker, second to last. Yeah.
Right. Well, what's the point then? What's the point? I'll say this again. In any league in which we just tell somebody to draft a player late, quarterback comes to mind as well, then you need to fix that league. That's why I like Superflex leagues, where you can start a second quarterback. Right. It changes the draft strategy. I like IDP leagues because, once again, it changes the strategy where you need to know your stuff more. I understand why it's not, because people don't want to, football's so popular, they want to make it easy. Football's popular in baseball, basketball, and hockey because it's one day a week, pretty much. You set your lineup on Tuesday, you're done. I get it. Mm-hmm. No one wants to pay attention every day. You know, with the IDPs, you have to really know your defense to study more. You know, we want easy. I get it. But I think for a serious player, you know, the guy who's really into it, or a serious league, I really think you need to switch to IDP. We hate team defenses. I want to get rid of kickers, too, by the way. I'm all with Jake Seeley there. Let's get rid of kickers and hit another flex. I'm all for adding more flexes, by the way. You know, adding more players into your pool. Yeah. Kickers, I hate. Once again, we tell you, there's no way of accurately ranking a kicker. Nobody knows. You know, generally the basic philosophy is one of three things. A, kicker with strong leg. B, kicker kicks indoors, right, because you don't have to worry about the weather. And B, you want a team that's a good offense but not a great offense, a team that might get bogged down around the 20, right, so you get those field goals. It's just silly. There's really no way of ranking that. So get rid of kickers, too, and go with an extra flex.
There you go. And you're in the fourth round of that, you said?
Yes, I think in my league we are the fourth round, sixth pick. I'm up at 410. I'm one of those guys. I'm a nice guy. I make a pre-draft selection. I know it's a slow draft, Joe, and you have time. It's in the rules here. But I still get aggravated over guys who wait forever to make a pick. All right, it drives me insane, you know, because once again, if
unless
you know
they get sniped and then they have to change their strategy, you know, that happens. But I get
I'm not saying you can't wait an hour. You know, I'm talking about guys who wait forever. Do you have a 20? I think we have a 12-hour clock that stops overnight. You know, from like midnight to 8 doesn't count here. It's a 12-hour clock, but we still have guys. One guy, he's made 3 picks. His average is 15 hours. What? That's Ray Flowers, by the way. I'll throw Ray under the bus here. All right. Another guy, Matt Schaaf, was averaging 9 hours. Another guy, 7 hours. Dr. Rodham, what the hell? Make a pick. If you know you're not going to be around, put it in your pre-draft. I know I'm not going to be around today. I've already made my pre-draft picks. You know, I know I'm not afraid. I'm taking a running back next round. There's 5 running backs. Listen, these are all lower-end running backs that are left here. If anybody wants to know, I'm talking about the 2 guys on Cincinnati, which nobody's going to want. Probably not going to do anything big this year. Travis Homer on Seattle, Tony Pollard on Dallas, Travion Williams and Anderson on Cincinnati, and Miles Gaskin on Miami. You know, I put them in my pre-draft. I'm up in 4 picks. There's 5 guys. I'll get one of them. I really don't care which one.
Right.
Yeah, in this league, we have a taxi squad, so I can put these in. You know, it wouldn't count against my 40-man roster, and whichever one I get will be on that taxi squad. You know, I don't expect to do anything this year. But even in this league, running backs go crazy. Everybody wants – I mean, Josh Jacobs was the first overall pick, and we all knew it, that he was coming. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to go number one. Any running back that remotely might start is going. I had a 10th overall pick in the first round. I had no chance at a running back. I knew that. Yeah, you know, and I need one like anybody else. Running back is the weakest part of my team. It's strong, but I don't have much depth. You know, when those bye weeks come, I'm sort of screwed if I get an injury. And I have Freeman and Melvin Gordon. You know they're getting hurt. Marlon Mack, too. And so I know they're getting hurt. And, you know, running back is my problem there. I did get Armstead on Jacksonville, who I think at some point will start, because you know Fournette's going to get hurt. And my next couple of picks are going to be running backs again, just in case, you know, maybe I get lucky. Not that I'm rooting for an injury, but, you know, hey, if I get the Cincinnati guys, There's an injury there. If I get Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott were to go down, maybe I catch a break there. But running backs, even
Darrell
this
Henderson
kind of
probably's gone at this stage.
Oh yeah, long gone. Yeah, long gone. I wish. Mm-hmm. I wish he was still there. I'd be trading up right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be trading up right now if anybody like that was available. The five running backs I named you are the guys, really your top guys who are available.
All right.
Daniel Jones is still there, by the way.
Hey, Daniel Jones.
Little surprised. Actually, little surprised.
They said he actually looked okay in the rookie workout. So, whatever. We'll see. We'll talk football next segment. But interesting getting a little look into the background and a very deep league that George is in with some top people in the industry. But Angels beat the Orioles 7-2. Albert Pujols, two home runs, George. 3-for-5, 3 runs batted in. This week, he became the third major leaguer to have at least 2,000 runs batted in. And the guy that caught the home run ball that resulted in the 2,000th RBI, at first he decided he was going to hold out. Then he changed his mind. He's going to hand over the baseball to Pujols. But Pujols just continues to, obviously nowhere near the player that he was even, 5 to 7 years ago, but still putting up some mega numbers there, George. Milestones reached.
Well, yeah, he's reading some miles, so he's not putting up any mega numbers. You don't want him on your fantasy team. But,
I agree.
That was actually
that's why I
that
said
became
milestone.
A bigger That became a bigger story than I expected it about him and the fan. The fan has no obligation, by the way, to give a ball to a player or a team. Right. None. That you go. That ball's a stand. That ball is yours. And I talked about this with Cam yesterday. Now I have immense respect for the players. Immense. But if I caught a ball that was going to be worth something, you're not getting it back, buddy. All right? It's that simple. It's just that simple. Not unless you offer me what it's worth. Now, I am the kind of guy, if I went to a game, let's just say the giggles, you go to a game where there's going to be a mega milestone, most likely be a home run milestone. That'd be a big thing. I don't know. Pick any guy you want. It's going to break. Let's just say one day someone's going to break Bonds' record or whatever record you consider the record to be. And I'll do some research on how much that ball is worth, which I know would be a pretty penny. And if I happen to get that ball, unless they're reaching that amount, they're not getting it. They're just not getting it. It's pure and simple. These guys have all made a ton of money. The team makes a ton of money. Now I have a chance to take care of my kids, my college education, or pay off my house, whatever it might be. And I'm just going to give it away for a couple of bats, a ball, and an autograph.
Signed jersey, yeah.
No. I mean, listen, I do have all the respect in the world, Joe. I truly do. And I would like to give – I know they'd like the ball. The Hall of Fame, I'm sure, would like it. But, hey, that's my chance to cash in. That's the way I look at it. That's my chance. And so I don't blame anybody for not turning these balls. I don't blame that fan for not wanting to turn the ball in. And I think it was. He wasn't going to do it, and then he was, and then Pujols said, no, keep it. I don't know if Pujols was being a jerk about it or if he was just like, it doesn't really matter, whatever it might be. But if I'm the fan, I'm selling it. Pure and simple, I'm selling it.
First thing you do is get it authenticated, right?
To prove they didn't do it, though. For some reason, Major League Baseball didn't do it. They didn't have markers on the balls there. Stupid. I guess they forgot or didn't know, whatever it might be. But like I said, you authenticate it, you put it in a safety deposit box, and then I'm selling it. If the Angels want to buy it, if Pujols wants to buy it, and they have a top bidder, fine. Pujols is making a couple hundred million dollars. He wants to buy the ball. He can buy the ball for a market price. Not any big deal. It's not going to go for $1 million. What's going to go for 10,000, something like that? That's pocket change to Pujols. If he wants it, go buy it. I don't see that as that big a deal. I truly don't. I mean, like I said, it's pocket change to these guys. If they want it, go buy it. If the Angels team want it so much, buy it. I understand the Angels can't offer the guy much as far as merchandise, since he's a Detroit Tigers fan probably. It was in Detroit, right? So, you can't offer him season tickets or, a couple of box seats for the rest of the season, because that might be worth market price when you think about it, if you could offer him something like that, but they can't offer him that, not for a Detroit game. Or maybe they can make a deal with Detroit and they could. Not like Detroit is selling out and it would be all that tough.
I was going to say, how much is that worth? Yeah.
that's mean. That's mean, Joe. Glad
it's
you
real.
Said that,
it's
not me.
Reality. Yeah.
It's absolutely reality. But like I said, the bottom line is I don't think the fan is under any obligation just to give this ball back. I don't. And I don't feel bad for Pujols at all.
And you're right. It became a bigger story than you would expect. So, all right. So let's move on to the Phillies beating the Royals 7-0. Big story here is Zach Eflin, complete game shutout. 4 hits, no walks, 7 Ks. So, I mean, when you look at what's been going on in terms of innings pitched, how far starters go into games, 2014 season, according to baseballreference.com, the league average was 6 innings pitched per start and 96 pitches per start. That was in 2014. Those averages steadily decreased over the years. As of last season, starting pitchers were only averaging 5.4 innings pitched and 88 pitches per start. We're just a month and a half into the season, but that's still trending downward. It's now down to 5.3. So pitchers just not going deep into games, George, obviously. And just Zach Eflin pitching a complete game shutout. I know it's against the Royals, but you know what? The Royals have some boppers, though. I mean, the Alex Gordon's been hitting the ball. Hunter Dozier's been hitting the ball. Whit Merrifield. But you just don't see this very often.
Well, let's not kid yourself. A good pitcher is going to beat the Royals, okay? They're not that great a hitting team. They may have some boppers, mm-hmm. but they're not great boppers. That being said, to your point, listen, the game has changed nowadays. Teams, when you go through that lineup a third time, they start to get worried. That's when the bullpen starts getting up there. They don't like that. The numbers will all tell you. Every number will tell you the more you go through a lineup, the better chance they have of beating you up. So that's why you don't see pitchers going deep into games anymore. Shutouts are going to be a rarity. Hell, guys going 7-plus are going to be a rarity. And it's just the way the game is nowadays. It's a bullpen game. Everyone wants to make all these bullpen changes. You know, I know baseball wants to slow it down. And I guess they'll try that next year when you need to go, I believe it has to pitch to at least 3 batters. So that'll get rid of your left-handed your loogies, those guys won't have a job anymore because that's going to be very tough to have a guy in your roster who has to, only get lefties out. When was the last time you saw 3 lefties batting in a row? Good luck finding that there. So it'll be tough to keep that loogie on your roster. But that's just the way baseball is. The game has changed. Once again, people need to adapt to it. Eflin's pitched pretty well this year. He really has. A bad start here. That one start he had against the Mets where he only went 4 innings, 3 runs, 3 earned runs, 4 runs total. Other than that, his last starts, look at it. The shutout yesterday, you pointed out, 1 run against Washington, 1 run against Miami. Okay, it is Miami. That was also a complete game, by the way. But granted, it was against Miami. Even in Colorado, 2 earned runs, 3 runs, 6 innings, solid start here. He did get beat up by Miami, go figure. 1 run against Minnesota. So he's been more good than bad, and when he's good, he seems to be very good. So there's something to that. He's another guy. Granted, I would probably want to put him out there if I owned him. Right, he's hot right now. You could sort of sell these numbers I just brought up. You could sort of sell that. He's got 2 complete games. He pitched well in Colorado. You could sell that. And I think I might want to sell high on him, mainly because I think he's a solid pitcher, but not great. And he pitches in a bandbox. And when the weather heats up, that ball's going to travel. So I might want to get going while the going's good.
That's a good point. And one guy I didn't mention on the Royals that's been hitting the ball pretty well, Jorge Soler. Now, Soler started off last season. Looked like he was going to have a fine season, then got hurt. The season ended early. But last 9 games, entering yesterday's action, George, but batting 382 in those 9 games, 3 home runs, 8 RBI, 10 home runs on the season. Jorge Soler, do we think that he's going to continue, hitting the ball the way he has? And, like I said, last year it looked like he was on his way.
He was. I agree with you. I think he was on his way last year until the injury sort of ended that. He's the guy acquired from the Cubs in the Wade Davis deal. I think he's a guy fairly simple here. It's power against average. What you're hoping for if you have Jorge is that the average doesn't hurt you. And right now it doesn't. I know it's not great. It's 255, but it's not killing you. You can live with that. What you can't live with is 240, 235. The power won't be enough for that. But I like the player. Good fourth outfielder. No speed. I wish he would run a little bit more. But I'll take the power for the average offset right now.
There you go. There you go. All right. When we come back, we'll do a segment or so on football. Take a look at some of the teams in the AFC North. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day.